Coming up on Tech News Today, we'll give you our predictions for 2014. What's Apple going to do? What's Google going to do? What are memristors going to do? Why do you even care? All that and more coming up.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Tech News Today for Friday, December 27th, 2013. Tech News Today is brought to you by ProXPN. ProXPN is a virtual private network that allows you to use the internet the way it should be, anonymously and without oversight. For 20% off your new account, go to proxpn.com/twit and use offer code TNT. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Sarah Lane.
I'm Maya Zachter.
And I'm Jason Howell.
And this is our 2014 predictions show, where we're going to look ahead at the world of technology for the coming year and make our best guesses at what is going to happen. Product releases, upheavals, company changes, all kinds of stuff. We just had our predictions results show yesterday. On the heels of that, how are you guys feeling?
Stung. That was terrible.
I feel pretty good.
It was
good.
Hard for me. You guys did great.
Yeah, it's funny. I feel good too, Sarah.
We're 3 out of 5. Tom, three out of five ain't bad.
2 out of 5, I failed the test.
Oh, I thought basically. There's 3 out of 4 were really good. I was like, who's the other guy?
So I have a question. Going into the 2014 season, how do you feel after this really lackluster 2013?
It's a rebuilding year. We're going to have to draft really well if we're going to have any predictions that are going to be accurate. But we believe in hope, and we never gave up hope.
It's all about the rebound, IS.
Yeah, I'm going to work on the rebound.
Give it 110%.
The passing game. Your running game.
Yeah, we have none of that.
Don't let the competition get into your brain, okay?
You got to work on the defense and the offense.
Yeah. And even the side fence.
Yeah. It's important just to show up. Mm-hmm. So,
work on the geofence as well.
Thank you. Widen your geofence.
Especially important to widen that geofence. All right, let's take a quick break, though, before we get into the production, and let us tell you about our sponsor for today's show, ProXPN, a global virtual private network that works with almost any internet connection. It creates a secure encrypted tunnel through which all of your online data passes back and forth. Any online application can work with ProXPN. That includes your web browser, your email, your file sharing, and your instant messaging program. But what it does, you're like, okay, great. Those work right now. Why do I need it, Tom? Well, ProXPN keeps everything you do online hidden from prying eyes. So they can't tell what your physical location is. They can't be sniffing your packets at the coffee shop or the airport Wi-Fi. It's complete online privacy through a 512-bit encryption tunnel. It's not the only thing you should do, but it's definitely one of the things you should do to protect your connection. And it works with OpenVPN. You can protect yourself against your ISP's 6 strikes rule, bypass geographical restrictions for internet content and online video. They have servers in the United States, in the UK, in Asia, and elsewhere. And they've got software for Windows and Macs. They've got iOS or Android devices. There is even a ProXPN app for Android, the Google Play Store, that supports OpenVPN, plus world-class customer support. Steve Gibson gave it a great review on Security Now. So why not go to proxpn.com/twit for more information and to sign up. ProXPN premium accounts are normally $9.95 a month or $74.95 for an entire year, but we've got a special offer. Use the code TNT to receive 20% off for the lifetime of your account. That's less than $5 a month on the yearly plan. If you're not satisfied, you can cancel within 7 days for a full refund. So go to proxpn.com/twit and sign up with the code TNT. ProXPN accepts payments through Visa, PayPal, and now Bitcoin as well. We thank ProXPN for their support of Tech News Today. All right, leading off and predicting for 2014. Sarah Lane.
All right. I'm going to start with something. I mentioned when we talked about our predictions from a year ago that I am getting off the whole Apple TV train. I don't think that that's going to happen in the form I thought and hoped that would happen this year. However, I don't think that Apple is just going to rest on its laurels and say, yes, you'll get a new iPhone 6 and a new iPad Retina mini, and everybody's going to be happy. I think that we're going to see, and I don't know that it'll be called the iWatch, but I do think that we're going to be seeing a wearable wrist technology from Apple. I think it's going to come this year. I think we're going to see it, let's call it midsummer, somewhere where there might sort of be like a little product lull for Apple. And, you know, if I had to guess, it would be a combination of obviously watch, fitness tracker, music player, perhaps replacing the iPad Nano in the smallest form that we know it as now. Before I go too crazy, that's my prediction.
So is that two predictions? Is it that there will not be a TV and there will be an iWatch?
No, I just was sort of like, I was saying, in the, so same the main Apple prediction genre, is the watch. Okay, Apple TV, good. I'm done with it. Mm-hmm. We're going
You're
iWatch. I'm all in.
Not making a prediction about Apple TV. You're just setting that aside.
Oh, yeah. No, that wasn't supposed to be a twofer. I was just saying, I no longer am predicting things about the Apple TV because I don't want to be wrong anymore. I'm going
so
watch.
The prediction for those keeping score at home is for the iWatch.
That's
and the,
correct.
And roughly midsummer, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was on my
I'll
list.
Buy that. That there will be one?
Well, so, and do you have any differing aspect of your prediction, Ayaz?
No, she nailed it. That's... So what she said.
You should be happy. You should be like, yes, that's
well, it's good because Sarah got something right last year. So, I mean, maybe I'll be right about this
exactly.
one.
Exactly.
So, yay, see? Whatever. I'll be like, the second one you say, that's what I had too.
Yeah, which actually, is funny Apple- because none of us, we didn't actually share any of our predictions because we don't want to influence each other.
Right.
So I could technically just say, yeah, that's exactly what I was about to say, Sarah, for every single of my predictions and piggyback on my success.
On my five, the number one thing I wrote, Apple iWatch will be real.
Okay.
That's what I wrote.
We made that joke last year, too, just to be clear. Just because that's always a possibility.
Right.
I'm not going to do that. Jason, are you going to do that?
My prediction wasn't that there would be an Apple iWatch. My prediction was more in general about smartwatches. And I guess along those lines, because if a company is going to come along and really prove like that a smartwatch can be what people want it to be, Apple would definitely be one of those at the top of the heap. But my prediction was more that smartwatches are going to come and they're going to go. I think people are going to continue to expect smartwatches to hold this certain place, you know, continue to think that smartwatches are going to do all of these things and perform well and the battery life is going to be amazing and all this kind of stuff. And they're going to continue to be disappointed about it because I just don't believe that the form factor and that size of a device can do all the things that we really want it to do. So I think by year's end, smartwatches as a category is going to be less enticing, I guess.
Interesting, because my prediction actually tails on your prediction a little bit. I'm not making any kind of prediction about Apple's iWatch or right. Samsung's or anybody else's. I think that the health and fitness market is where wearable tech is going to be shining this year, much more than the smartwatch market. The quantified self trend is going to take off with fitness devices. Now, I'm willing to allow that there may be some fitness-oriented watches, and those may end up being the most successful smartwatches that come along in the year. But the trend for wearable computing, I think, is going to be led by fitness tech.
I'd agree with that.
I mean, it already is, kind of.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but you know? I think it's just, I think it's going to bust out this next year. And it's going to be like, now, if somebody has a Fitbit, you're like, oh, that's kind of cool. I think next year it's going to be more like, oh, wow, everybody I know has a Fitbit suddenly or something like that.
That's what I'm most interested in is, yes, the whole wearable quantified self fitness thing is alive and well. And we have a lot of different kinds of gadgets. But not everybody just, you know, not everybody has the Up or the Fitbit. There are a few different kinds of Fitbits. It'll be interesting to see what ends up rising to the top, whether it exists now and gets better, or it's a new product that none of us have ever seen before that ends up being the one that everybody has. Because we can't all have, there can't be that many of the same types of wristbands that do the same types of things and everybody exist for very long anyway.
Yeah, I just know that that's what's popular, and I think it's going to stay popular. So we're back to you, Sarah. Top of the order.
Well, okay. This is a prediction that I have that, can I just say off the top that I don't hope that this happens.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't want it to happen. I'm not a monster. But I think that a drone will hurt and or kill someone this year, and people who make laws will consider forcing people who fly drones of any size, shape, or color to have special licenses in order to operate and fly one.
And you're talking about quadcopters and casual. You're not talking about military drones, obviously.
No, just, well, that's, you know, they've got their laws.
The people are like, well, drones killed people already. Yes, that's not what she's talking about. You're talking about...
I'm talking about consumer level, prosumer level. I don't know if we, you know, have that many consumer level drones, but Ayaz is doing so many eye rolls at me right now. It's unbelievable.
Go ahead, eye roll, Ayaz.
You hurt your eye muscles there, Akhtar?
Oh, he is eye rolling. Oh, yeah.
Did your contact fall out?
Oh, wait, no, you're wearing glasses. The audio version, you can hear the eye rolling I'm doing.
I mean, it is, the eye roll is so thick, you could cut it with a knife.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. Like, you're so wrong. Licensing of this stuff, we've had these silly RC planes forever.
I said, and I quote myself,
oh, yeah?
Lawmakers will consider forcing special licenses to operate and fly a
way
drone.
To use weasel words. This is from a lawyer.
I
talking.
Said that the first time.
Consider that.
I did.
I don't think. Well, yeah, sure. No, people will freak out. I agree with you. If somebody gets hurt, people freak out.
There'll be a committee hearing. There'll be a law proposed.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Sarah's just saying short of whether it'll pass or not.
There'll be a lot of hand-wringing and people say, we just can't have these drones. What could happen to that poor lady?
Something needs to be done about these drones.
Something needs to be done about the drones. We just can't have these drones flying across our cities.
Yeah.
It's going to sound just like that.
Exactly. Well, you know what? I think you changed my mind there.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's going to happen.
Go ahead. That's a random prediction.
It's random.
We don't know that that's going to happen. It's not random, but it's a risky prediction. It's not like you're looking at a trend and going, yeah, I think the trend will peak here. You're saying an accident's going to happen.
I don't want to just live life safely. Oh, in my comfort little box.
That is not on my list, by the way. I want to get that straight.
Ayaz and I have now diverted to two different paths.
Finally. Very happy about this.
What's your drone prediction, Ayaz?
My drone prediction, I don't have one. My next prediction is Google Gigabit Fiber is going to hit a major city like New York, actually particularly New York. I think that the mayor there, Bloomberg, is really, really tech forward. And I think if anybody is going to hit it, I'm not talking about, like, I know Austin's a major city. I'm not downgrading any city that has Google Fiber right now. But one of the bigger problems with New York City is very hard to wire up because of the apartments. And I think Google is actually going to get into there, and you're going to see something huge happen because Bloomberg wants New York to be, what does he call it, the Silicon Alley or something like that? He calls it something. He wants it to be as big as it is in the Silicon Valley. I think Google comes to New York with gigabit fiber.
Nuts. You're crazy. Google will never do that. It will never go into that cesspool of a major city like Los Angeles or New York City or Chicago or even San Francisco. That would be the one for them to go into if they're going to go into a big city like that, and they're not going to do it. It's much easier in a place like Austin or Provo or Kansas City to prove the model. I just do not see them taking that big of a risk.
Well, that's the thing. They've proven their model. Now they should do it where the big boys play instead of these like little towns. Now I am degrading your cities.
New York City.
Yeah, that's where they make salsa.
Yeah. Well, that would. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
No.
It's just not going to happen.
All right, it's a good prediction, though. I love the prediction because it is bold. We got two bold predictions in a row.
Jason Howell. Bloomberg's going to be out next year. Thank you, guys.
Oh, boy. Now I'm scanning through my predictions to see which one's bold. I'm not sure I have any bold predictions.
Do you have any of them in bold?
Sure. Let's go with this one. Well, this could be bold, I suppose. The perception that the Android ecosystem is of lesser value will further diminish as revenue for apps in the Play Store jump significantly. I feel like Android as a platform is continual. Obviously, it's improving with every release. But I feel like right now we're still kind of in that world of like, yeah, developers are kind of ho-hum. Like, they know they need to be on Android because of the amount of users, but they're still kind of a little frustrated as relates to kind of their revenue, their income from their apps in the Play Store versus, let's say, on iOS and in the store there. I think 2014 is where it really starts to equal out and you start to perceive Android as being a money-making platform for developers that take part in it, more so than it is right now. See, I don't know if that's bold.
I don't know if that's going to work.
You don't think so?
Because there's enough splitting off of Android. You've got Amazon trying to get people to work with them to make sure they have apps. You got Samsung trying to do their own app store. They have their own development for like S Pens and their other stuff. Mm-hmm. That it seems like what they're doing right now is they're divvying up, at least at the time, like in this year anyway. They're divvying up the developers. So for them to go to Android as a whole might be interesting if Google's actually backing it. But they haven't backed like development since like the introduction of Android. If they started some kind of contest again, maybe. But I don't know, because they're kind of splitting up developers.
But I'm not sure, actually, when you're talking about the alternative markets, let's say Amazon or even Samsung, less so Amazon. Amazon, obviously, you know, they have a lot of users in the Amazon Android ecosystem that are buying their content, same users that go to Amazon anyways and buy their content. But something like Samsung or all those other alternative markets, I don't think they're really pulling a whole lot. I don't think they're pulling a lot away from the Play Store enough to hurt kind of development, you know, and kind of the revenue generated through having your app in the Play Store. I just think I'm realizing it's hard for me to put this prediction into words, but for years now, iOS has been seen as the platform that you go to make a lot of money if you're a developer. And I think 2014 is the year where that sort of changes. Not that it changes entirely and that iOS is, you know, not a place to go to make money for developers, but that Android is seen more on equal footing.
All right. Kind of jumping off the Android side of that, but getting away from the app developer part of it, I think we're going to see the rise of bargain tech devices in this coming year. Quality, like high quality sub-$100 smartphones, carrying on from what we're seeing with the Moto X and the Moto G. Sub-$250 tablets, quality sub-$250 tablets and phablets. IDC says the emerging markets in the world will account for 35% of worldwide IT revenue in 2014 and 60% of worldwide IT spending growth. I think that is what is going to power this explosion of quality, affordable devices.
We saw that trend with the Moto G, I think it is, the $179 mm-hmm. device that's unlocked. That's a ridiculously low cost. Amazon, very good at that too. Basically not making a profit on the device. I can see that really happening if the makers of the devices are tying you into their ecosystem, their services. And I think enough of these companies have enough services that's really possible. We've seen that also with Microsoft and Nokia's Lumia. Like, I think it's the 525, dirt cheap, about $80, and it's pretty powerful. So I think you're probably gonna be dead on.
I you got to look at Sailfish. You got to look at Firefox OS. Ubuntu has apparently tied up a manufacturer. They won't say who it is, but they've got a deal. And then add to that the normal number of Android forks and non-forks going after that developing market, along with, well, like you said, Windows Phone. I think we are going to see a quality, a number of quality sub-$100 smartphones and quality sub-$250 tablets and phablets in the coming year. That's going to be a big trend. All right. Back to the top of the order, Sarah Lane.
Okay. Yahoo's been on a bit of a tear. Yahoo loves to buy companies, mm-hmm. to acquire them and figure out what to do with them. Sometimes it's hard to know as spectators what Yahoo will do with these companies as well. I predict that Yahoo will buy Path this year in 2013. Path is a very well-executed app. I don't use Path much anymore because I found that it provided diminishing returns as far as joy on a regular basis. And I know other people who feel the same way. What I'm getting at is that I think Path is on the decline. They're going to have user subscriber issues. They've got a pay-for premium model that I don't know a lot of people who've jumped on board with. I think that the idea of a closed network is floundering for Path, and I still think it's a good product, though. And I think, okay, who's going to buy Path? Who's really going to buy Path? And I say it's Yahoo. Makes more sense than any other company I can think of.
I like this prediction a lot. Yeah, I hadn't thought about it at all, but it makes perfect sense. Path is the kind of company Marissa Mayer would be attracted to. Mm-hmm. They bring the kind of expertise and development that she wants, and they're the kind of company that I think would like to partner up with Marissa Mayer. I mean, if they haven't already started talking, they better.
I keep seeing this both ways. I can see Yahoo saying, like, we got what's the company they bought?
Tumblr.
That's the really active, engaged audience. It's the youth market. They've been picking up all these companies to get mobile app development going at Yahoo. Path, while it may be floundering, the idea of a closed network might be a problem. I could also see Yahoo doing it just for the mobile expertise, having the mobile app expertise and having this kind of engaged user base. And I would even go so far, not this is not on my list, I'm just riffing on what you're saying. I could see them integrating it into all kinds of things like Flickr. Like if there was some kind of closed network where you can share your photos a lot better, Path mm-hmm. might be the way to do it. And that actually makes a lot of sense to me, as much as I hate to say it.
Yeah, it bothers me that my Path usage has waned just because I really think it does a lot of things well. It's fun to use. You need engagement, though. And I've thought more and more is, what's wrong with it? Why do I not want to use it as much? Because it's not as if I don't have friends that use Path. It's that as a standalone product, it's kind of bored me. And I think it would do really well with a larger company where it could be integrated into other products.
All right, next up, Mr. Ayaz Akhtar.
Yeah, actually, this is similar, but not related to what you said. I wrote, Samsung will buy a social network.
That's not what I said.
And Tom was mentioning this idea that, you know, sub-$100 devices, sub-$200 devices, and I'm saying that a lot of companies have this ecosystem. Samsung does pretty much everything. They have been courting developers for their version of Android. I mean, it's Android, but with TouchWiz. They have their S Pen stuff. It seems like they also have, I believe it's Chat On. So they have a lot of communications things going on. I believe there's already a bit of a social network around their, it's like S Pen Doodles. It's a weird little thing. I had to look it up because I didn't want to predict something that already happened, by the way. So I was looking it up today.
Yeah.
But I think Samsung is big enough, and if they want, they could purchase a social network. Now, which one it would be? Maybe it's Path. Maybe it's MySpace. Maybe it's one of these things. But they could pretty much do anything they want. I think they would go out and buy something, maybe rebrand it eventually. But that's what I'm guessing.
Would you count if they bought Line or WhatsApp or something like that? I guess they couldn't buy WhatsApp.
I guess it depends on the engagement, right? If it's really a social kind of feel, maybe. I mean, I don't see them buying LinkedIn. That's kind of a social network. I know it technically is. But
yeah, it is.
I wouldn't say another communications platform, no. I'm thinking more mm-hmm. of a Facebook clone, whatever that would be, but mm-hmm. not necessarily WhatsApp.
Jason Howell, your third prediction, sir.
Because Sarah said she wasn't going to predict it this year, I decided I was going to go in and I was just going to say, you know what? Apple TV is real. We'll see it this year.
Oh, hello.
Easy to quantify. At the end of next year, if there's an Apple TV, I win.
Apple, you know what's
television.
Cool is that
television.
One of us will be right.
Yeah, you don't mean the current Apple TV, right?
Yeah, I mean Apple television, the actual television set by Apple. Yes, bring it. Someone's got to do it.
I think we're just going to see them kind of give put the current version a little on steroids maybe or something. I'm still holding out on the Apple TV. My third prediction is that we will have encryption everywhere. Lots of new secure services from enterprise to consumer. Expect hardware products galore to be marketed to help you secure things. And the inevitable ripoff. This is the particularly measurable part of my prediction. And by the end of the year, there will be some controversy over the magic jack of security devices, like a box that's supposed to secure your router, and it turns out it doesn't really do a good job. It's ripping people off. It's not really protecting them. But I think you're going to see a spate of these devices, especially at CES, that are meant to protect you from the NSA and hackers and whatever other fears they can bring up, because that's all in the public's mind right now, and you know they're going to try to sell to it.
That sounds like one of those predictions we made where the stuff on our minds was like the NSA spying and everything, and I think the public has a short memory. I don't know if these consumer products would exist 6 months from now.
I don't know about that.
I think you're normally
right, Ayaz, but first of all, there's no end in sight of Snowden leaks.
This is true.
And this story is not going to die in February. I think the story is going to keep going on all year.
All right. Well, yeah, I thought the PlayStation hacks would go on forever, too. But
we're talking about major worldwide government-shaking news versus the PS4.
Pop culture things happening. You know, people are getting married and divorced and stuff, and that gets people's attention. Now, I want you to be right, Tom. I just think that people have short memories.
So you're predicting, and this isn't one of these predictions, but you're saying that the Snowden leaks will just fade from memory and people wouldn't care about them, and that's why
arguably, yes.
And I don't see that. I don't see that happening at all.
I hope you're right.
Back to the fourth time through the order, Sarah Lane.
All right. I predict, and this is right around the corner, that curved screen gadgets will be all the rage at CES. However, consumers will pass. And I think that's part of me just saying I can't see in my imagination what will be a cool curved smartphone and or tablet and or something I haven't thought of yet that I'm going to want, because I don't understand how that works. How do you fit it in your pocket? How is it going to fit in my little purse pockets?
What if it fits on your wrist?
That's different.
Oh, good point, though. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, when I said Apple would come out with an iWatch, right, and I'm just making up a name, I consider that a different category than what I'm talking about now. Okay. I'm talking about changing a smartphone, say, to something with a curve.
Or televisions, these
or
kind of
television.
Things we've seen.
Okay. Yeah. I don't get why that makes my life better, and I can see other people feeling the same way.
I think you're right. You know, I'm not so confident that I'm just immediately jumping in, but because I'm not even sure that we'll see them as quickly as maybe we think we will, right? I think we'll see them at CES. And then whether they actually hit the market before the end of the year or not, I'm not certain. I'm fairly certain Apple won't do one this time. I don't think that's this time around. You might see one from Samsung, though, or you might see one just from an off-the-wall, you know, third party. And I do think, though, if you're right about them coming out, that people will just sort of be like, I like the, maybe they'll like the phone for other reasons, but the bendiness, the curviness, which we've already seen, you know, the start of that just doesn't really like turn people's heads, does it?
So Sarah's saying that curved screens will fall flat.
Ha. Yes.
Correct.
And that could be the title if we didn't already have a title that described the show, because it's called Prediction. go ahead, Mr. IS. How are you going to follow that?
I'm going to say that Amazon is finally going to introduce its set-top box. They have to. This might be a little safe. I know we've heard rumors about this. But the thing is, Amazon doesn't control its own ecosystem when it comes to the set-top box. We've seen the Fire, Fire HD, HDX, all of these cool little portables, rumors of smartphones. Where the heck is the smart? Where is that actual set-top box from Amazon? I know you can access it with lots of other devices. But I think next year, and I would even bet money, I'm not a betting man, Amazon will introduce a set-top box, and it's going to be just fine. It's going to use that Fire OS, and it's going to have all of the stuff you normally have with Prime, and it'll be in one box.
I think you're right, and I'm afraid you're right about what it's going to be, because I don't think that changes the game at all.
Oh, no.
Just an Amazon set-top box that comes with Amazon, Hulu Plus, and Netflix on, and it might come with YouTube also. Okay. I mean, I want to see somebody come with a set-top box that does something I didn't expect.
Well, I mean, they included X-Ray, which they use on the Fire OS. Like, if you're watching a movie and you're like, that guy, who's that guy? And they have that little thing where you can actually identify the actor. Would that make a difference to anybody? I'm just trying to think if Amazon was going to bother. That might be the only hook.
I want the helper person to pop up and tell me what to watch.
You want Mayday? I like that. Like, Amazon Prime, I don't know what you have there. Mayday? I want to watch something funny. Make me laugh.
I'm a joke. I'm a clown to you,
my
Amazon.
I'm here to amuse you, Amazon.
Jason Hall, you're next.
Oh, boy. Do I go with one that I'm... let's see here. Okay, well, so last year I predicted that there would not be a Motorola Nexus, even though Motorola was kind of newly acquired by Google. And Tom's laughing. He knows where I'm going with this. I think... The argument that Google couldn't possibly do this with Motorola because then, you know, the competition against Motorola might get upset and at Google for kind of, you know, taking advantage of this, whatever. I think we've seen a Samsung device, Nexus device. We've seen LG. We've seen HTC. Of the big players, we're left kind of like with Motorola and Sony. And I don't think Sony. I think Motorola is probably going to have its shot this year. I think we're going to see a Motorola Nexus. And I, for one, will be very excited to see it.
Never going to happen.
Why do you say
totally
that?
Wrong, because that's going to tick off every other
partner. No, and that's exactly what I said. Everybody says that, but
it's
going to
happen.
I don't think it's going to tick everybody off.
Well, you mark my words here, because you know how accurate I am with my predictions.
All right, this is a sideline prediction for Iaz.
There's no way Sony's going to get that way before.
You think Sony's going to get the Nexus?
That was not a prediction.
Motorola.
I'm just thinking about it, because Sony makes some really quality hardware.
They do, and I know a lot of people want Sony Nexus.
It would look like favoritism, and I think that's the thing that's going to keep them away from Moto doing that, because Moto... they have some really great stuff. It's a very stock Android, but They don't need the blessing of Google. They are Google.
But I think Google at this point is kind of, I think there's maybe a little bit of a sea change going on where they're starting to care a little bit less about that and going for it anyways. And just basically saying, look, we produce great hardware with our cooperation with Motorola. Here's what we can do. I think there will be one. But that's, we'll see. Time will tell.
I think I'm going to go on a totally different product tangent from that. The first wave of memory transistor-based devices, which bring amazing speed, amazing battery life, will begin to be released for purchase to the public. They'll probably be a little bit expensive, but they will be astounding in having weeks-long battery life and incredibly fast operation. I don't know for certain what kinds of devices I see these going into. Some kind of mobile device, I think, would be the most popular choice for it. But memristors are a different kind of transistor that can remember their state. So they don't have to do a whole boot-up procedure. They don't have to store their state when you shut them down. And that gives them a huge advantage on things. So look for memristor or maybe some kind of catchy marketing name that comes up to be popularized starting before the end of 2014. Memristors. Mm-hmm. That's where the real money is made.
Okay. All right, Spaceball.
Sure.
Let's go to Plaid, huh?
Sure, Tom.
You can mark my words.
They're stunned.
We are marking.
We're stunned in silence.
All right, Sarah. What do you got then?
Okay, fifth and final prediction. Let's make this one fun.
Oh.
I predict that Bitcoin...
of course.
...will hit 3,000 in 2014, and that Bitcoin will drop to 3.
Oh, wow.
These are U.S. dollars.
That's correct.
Korean won.
I'm going U.S. dollars, but the currency exchange will be relative, depending on what we're changing. But yeah, I'm going U.S. dollars, 3,000, and people are going to freak, and then 3, and people are going to freak. And I don't even think it's that crazy of a prediction.
I don't think it is either. I think my confidence that'll happen is around like 31%, right? I don't think that's most likely to happen. But it definitely has a nice chunk of possibility there on both ends.
Yep.
For sure.
Yep. Yep. That's my prediction.
I think you're right.
So when it gets to 3,000, sell. This is not investment advice, but that's kind of what the upshot would be,
right?
If that would be the case.
I agree. I think the future of Bitcoin is kind of impossible to predict, but I say over the next year we're going to see more and more fluctuation. That's sort of the short version of that prediction.
That for sure. I can get 87% behind that.
That's great.
I calculated it.
87 US percent?
Yes.
Or
Well, no.
I think you should
metric.
Make sure that we're all on the same page. Okay.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, exactly. Go ahead, Ayaz.
All right. So this one I'm not confident in at all, and I've been saying the same kind of thing forever. I think this one's going to actually – it may be happening. A phone manufacturer is going to become an MVNO. Somebody out there, if it's Samsung, HTC, Motorola, somebody's going to have their own service. I know we got a bunch of these other companies piggybacking off of Sprint or other things like that. But I think the wireless industry in the U.S., there's so much competition at this point when it comes to, well, Sprint and T-Mobile trying to get market share, that I think one of these guys might be selling their airwaves to a manufacturer. There were rumors about that with Apple a long time ago. That never happened. But I think we might be in an industry now where one of these manufacturers goes, yeah, you can get the Moto X on the Moto network. That's it.
My first reaction is no. My gut reaction is no, that's not going to happen. Manufacturers don't want to get into that business. It's a whole different kind of business with a whole different amount of risks. Mm-hmm. But then when I start thinking about the MVNO side of it, and you know, maybe Google for Motorola does an acquisition, or maybe HTC merges with somebody, and suddenly they're not having to operate the network. They just have to operate the billing and the marketing of it. Maybe that's a plan for an HTC, right? Or maybe that's a way that a Xiaomi actually makes a splash in the United States by coming with the service. It's interesting.
that's just a crackball idea. I don't know if this is going to work. I mean, it's a silly idea. But I think, yeah, maybe these other companies that just can't get a foothold, and they say, look, we'll just buy the Sprint Networks waves and we'll just do it ourselves. It almost happened with Apple, but it didn't.
Yeah. Jason Howell, you're up. Last prediction.
Europe, huh?
Europe. The last prediction must be about Europe.
Man.
We go to the big board.
I don't know which one to go with here. I suppose I'll go with this one because it's quick, and I'm not sure entirely what it's based in necessarily, but I think Square is a pretty darn hot company, has been for a while, making lots of money, has a really good just kind of public perception. I think Square is going to get acquired this year. I'm not sure entirely by who.
Acquired. I thought you were going to say go public, and I was going to be like, so lol, too. Duh. Everyone knows that.
And that's part of why I felt okay, like, coming to a prediction show with it. Uh-huh. I'm not entirely why I feel this way, but it makes it bold, and I'm going to say Square gets acquired instead of going public.
By whom?
That I don't know.
Citibank.
That's not new. Just Visa.
PayPal.
Maybe a seriously old bank player. Bank
Yahoo.
Of America.
Yahoo.
These competitors. Yahoo. Are you insane? Yahoo.
Yes, I'm insane.
That would be the boldest prediction. Yahoo buys Square is the prediction. No, that's not what he said.
No, but, that's not what he said.
I think a major
could
bank.
Be,
major
but
bank. Yeah, I mean, all the safe money is on Square going public next year. Like, it's a foregone conclusion. So that would be a titanic change of events.
I think you got to go big with at least one of your predictions.
Right. Go big or go home.
So I'm going with it.
I don't know. I mean, if somebody was going to buy Square, it's like Square has so many former Apple engineers. I mean, like hardware engineers.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say it makes more sense for a company like Apple to buy Square rather than a company like PayPal.
Couldn't be Apple.
Wow, that would set off tidal waves.
Yeah, but Apple just devours companies. They don't just keep them around. So they would never buy Square
But Square from day one has always been people saying, ooh, this kind of almost looks like an Apple thing. Because it's like they're all Apple alums.
And if you took Square and used it in your retail chain, Apple, and then build it into all your mobile devices, I don't know.
I don't think it's a terrible idea, but I still think they're going to go public.
I still don't think it's going to happen, but I think it's a good, bold prediction.
By the way, if Apple buys Square, then Jason and I both get a point because I just took your prediction and ran with it.
If Yahoo buys Square.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
Okay.
As long as my prediction comes
that's
true.
Not gonna happen.
Fine. I want one, too. We all get a point eventually.
Everybody gets a point just for it being cool.
It's like kids soccer. We all win. My final prediction for 2014 is the iPad Pro will arrive and fill the gap between the iPad Air and laptops. It'll be a professionally inspired tablet similar to the MacBook Pro, not exactly an enterprise-only device, but an enterprise-friendly device. And I'm not sure what all whistles and bells it'll have, whether it'll have like a keyboard case or something like that that's really nifty, whiz-bang. It'll probably be a little bigger, I would guess, or at least available in a bigger size. But what do you think? iPad Pro by the end of next year?
Because we need something so badly between an iPad and a MacBook Air?
Because a lot of people don't want to buy a laptop anymore. They want to have a tablet, but they want some of the power of a laptop. And enterprise wants tablets, and they want more enterprise-friendly tablets.
Yeah, okay. I see where you're going with this. I just think it's too in between two products that people are already pretty happy with. I mean, the iPad Air, I know it's not a tablet, but it's not like this clunky thing that people are saying, if only it was more like a tablet. I just feel like it's, and it's really not even that powerful either.
There have been rumors of a 13-inch iPad been going around for a while. The fact that the MacBook Air never gets a Retina display, like it seems like it's a little bit weird. You know, the thing about tablets, they've kind of taken over the space of laptops. So if Apple is going to do anything, that Pro edition of an iPad could have the ability to be this bridge. Just saying, like, you know, yeah, we got laptops, and we see iOS and OS X just converging so much that maybe that could be the thing, maybe to replace the MacBook Air, something that actually comes in and say, look, we have this device. It's super thin, super light. The thing they have to figure out is multitasking, because you need true multitasking, and that's a whole operating system change, because right now it's here's an app full screen, here's an app full screen, and if you can't have two applications going on at one time, on screen, that's a problem. I think that needs a huge redesign for iOS if you're going to do that.
Maybe the iPad Pro becomes like a MacBook Air that is some sort of a convertible laptop/tablet.
Like that's right there in the range of what I'm talking about. Yeah. Like maybe it's a convertible with a keyboard on the back, touchscreen on the front. Maybe it's OS 10 instead of iOS. I don't know.
We'll make it happen.
But I think with iPad Air and with the enterprise need, by calling it iPad Air, they may have been telegraphing this a little, saying, "And hey, we're gonna leave a little space above there for us to have another project."
Very, very,
intriguing.
That's a fun prediction.
Well, I wanted to finish with something fun for 2014.
I should have planned better that way. Darn it.
There you go. Hey, thank you all for joining us and checking in our predictions. We'll keep an eye on them throughout the coming year. You can email us. Our email address is tnt@twit.tv. You can give us a call, 260-TNT-SHOW, and visit our website, twit.tv/TNT. We'll be back Monday, December 30th. It's my last show, so don't miss it. We're going to have Darren Kitchen, Dr. Kiki, and an appearance by Becky Worley, and more. See you then.